If you brought your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 20 this morning. If you didn't bring your paper Bible, that's all right. I'm sure you have a Bible app on your phone, or else we will have the words up here on the screen as well. But today is certainly a special day for those of us who call ourselves a Christian. Our faith is centered around what happened on the day that we're celebrating. It's Resurrection Day. I'll spoil a little bit and tell you guys the end of the story before the beginning. It's like reading the last chapter of a book. Or if you guys are having a meal, a big meal later, you have my permission to do this. Eat your dessert first. Jesus has the victory. Jesus comes back to life, and he still lives today. There are many other religions out there, but the difference is our God is alive. Our God showed victory over every other God out there. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Confucius died. The Dalai Lama passes away. But our God, Jesus, lives forever. Our God is the one God who went to the grave, but he overcame it and did not stay there. And he offers hope to all that will believe in him. Leading up to what we're about to read, there was a lot going on. There were those who were looking at Jesus and saying that he's going to change everything, whether for the good or for the bad. There were some looking at Jesus and saying, "What can he do for me?" And then there's those that we're going to look at this morning who said, "I care for the relationship I have with Jesus more than anything. I care for him not because of what I've seen him do, but because he cares for those around him. He loves people regardless of what was going on in their lives. He loves people that didn't have it all together. He cared for those who it seemed like there was no hope at all, that there was nothing for them to look forward to. And he still does that. Those who didn't care for Jesus, they wanted him dead. And Jesus willingly took the punishment despite not doing anything wrong. He said, "Yes, I will take the lashings from the scourging. Yes, I will go to the cross, face some of the most agonizing pain there is possible, and I'll do it personally for you." Jesus had breathed his last breath. But there were some key people in positions that were able to get Jesus' body off that cross, and they prepared it for burial, not allowing Jesus' body to be picked apart on the cross by birds or animals. So they got him down just in time to put him in the tomb and do at least a portion of the preparation that they did for those that have passed. It was a rushed job, but it was better than just doing nothing. But it was unfinished for the respect that they wanted to pay to Jesus with a proper burial. That's where we pick up here in John 20, starting in verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" Mary had went before it was light out. She wasn't going to wait. She didn't hold off until it was safer travel once there was light. She didn't wait for the sun to come up. She wasn't letting go. Jesus meant a lot to her. Mary knew the change that Jesus had done in her life. She recognized how he made it happen. She was coming to anoint the body of Jesus with various spices. She was coming to do what was customary for honoring the dead. But she wasn't thinking about the resurrection. She was thinking about what she was planning on doing. She got to the tomb and found the stone already rolled away. She was hurt. She was desiring to see Jesus wrapped up in his grave clothes. The stone that sealed the tomb, she wouldn't have been able to move it herself, but that didn't stop her from going to see Jesus and serve him. She was seeking a dead person, but she found an empty tomb. She was upset. She couldn't believe it. She thought that someone had taken Jesus. She feared and didn't know what to do. So she ran and found John and Peter, two others that cared deeply for him. She probably barely got the words out of her mouth, but she told them that Jesus wasn't there anymore. Continuing in verse 3, Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been placed around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know, a better word there is perceive, the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. So the disciples knew that something was up. But they didn't know for sure. So they went to see for themselves. They ran, and John got there first. He saw the stone rolled away, and he stopped there. Once John saw the stone moved, he knew something was going on. He peered in and saw the grave clothes and stopped at the doorway. But Peter, in all his boldness, he walked in to see more clearly. He wasn't going to be merely an observer at a distance. He was going to get right in the middle of it. He wanted to see clearly. He wanted to immerse himself in what was going on. They saw the grave clothes. It was exactly where Jesus had been laying, only it didn't have a body in it. It was like the body had vanished right out from inside of it. There was no way that someone just moved the body and went through that kind of effort to put the clothes back together as though it was wrapped around a person. There's no way that he would have put the spices back in the folds like it was originally still in place. And Jesus' headpiece was not where the body was either, but it was off to the side. But it was also in the same state, as if the head had evaporated straight out of it as well. It says that both Peter and John saw and believed. See, when they heard Jesus was gone, they were not thinking about the resurrection. When they saw the stone rolled back, they were not thinking about him being resurrected. But when they saw the grave clothes like this, they finally perceived the resurrection. There were two different Greek words that were used here for the word see or saw in this passage. The first one was when Mary saw the tomb. That was seeing it with her natural eyes. When John looked from outside the tomb inside and peered in, it was the same word that was used. But when John and Peter went inside, they saw a different thing. It was a different Greek word used. That word meant to actually understand what was going on. Light bulb. If you're a Minions fan, you'll get that joke later. But that is what happened. That's what happened to that point. The light bulb went on for their understanding of what Jesus said. They weren't thinking that route when Mary told them back at their place that the tomb was empty. They weren't thinking about that route when they were running on their way to the tomb. They weren't even thinking resurrection when they peered in from the outside. But once they took that faith step and walked in, asked themselves, what is this? That is when they believed. They hadn't perceived the scripture being fulfilled until that very minute. But then they embraced it and knew that indeed this was part of God's plan. That's the point where they probably had a number of words that Jesus had spoke flooding back through their brains. John and Peter had came out of that tomb knowing that they were seeing God at work. But Mary had remained. She still didn't understand what was going on. In verse 11, it says, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stopped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to him, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, 'Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned around and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her." Mary was heartbroken. She was only thinking one thing in the physical. But the problem is, we're more than just a physical being. You know, in the book of Genesis, it says that God made us in his image. Every person has a body, soul, and a spirit. So we have a spiritual side we must embrace. Trying to understand God's word, the Bible, we can't do it with our own understanding. Trust me, I tried when I was first saved. I'm a very technical person. I like to understand how this thing links to that and how this comes before that. This causes that. But the Bible is a spiritual word authored by the Holy Spirit to be understood by our spirit man or woman. You know, we heard it said this week, we have issues sometimes because we think we are human beings having a spiritual experience, but we're actually a spiritual being having a human experience. That's how God created us. When things don't make sense, look at it spiritually. Mary was looking at what was going on with her natural eyes. She saw the one thing that she was clinging to being gone. She was having her plans crushed. She didn't want to figure out what was going on. But here's one of those things about God's nature. Even when things are rough, he is a personal God. He makes sure that we know that he loves us so much, he talks to us. He comforts us in our time of need. John and Peter, the only thing they needed to see were the grave clothes lying like they were to understand it. But Mary, Jesus pressed in a little more. He greets her. She's a mess. She's still not thinking resurrection. She's not assuming that he'd visit her at this point, but he does. And he lets her know that she means just as much to him as he does to her. See, we see that Mary's words calling Jesus Lord, even though she was at his tomb looking for him. She was so grateful for what Jesus did. She was so changed in her life from how it was before she met Jesus. She was delivered from many demons, and she walked in a new life that Jesus had gave her. She continued to honor him, calling him Lord. There was only one thing that would satisfy Mary that day: Jesus. Notice that Mary was still weeping because she missed Jesus. She wanted to know where he was. And while weeping, she looked in the tomb again and she saw two angels. And just as if they didn't know, they asked her why she was crying. She just wanted Jesus. See, most people in the Bible, when they encounter angels, they had hit the ground. They put their face in the dirt, and the angels had to tell them to get up, that they weren't meant to be worshipped. But Mary, she spent time with God. She saw these angels, and that didn't please her. She saw the angels, that really didn't even faze her. She saw them, just kind of said, meh, that's not going to satisfy. Because she had been in God's presence. The only thing that was going to truly satisfy her was being in God's presence again. Nothing compares to his presence. It wasn't until Jesus revealed himself that she believed. She probably had a desire to hug him, seeing him again, but Jesus reminded her that there was still one more thing to do. He needed to ascend to heaven, to the Father. To Jesus' Father and Mary's Father, and to ours as well. Write in your Bible, if you have it, take where it says the word your in verse 17. Cross out your and write your own name there. Because God is a personal God. See, Jesus was restoring mankind back to God at that moment. Because of man's sin, there was no way that we could be in God's presence. Only by Jesus willingly going to the cross, exchanging his perfect life for all of mankind's sin, that's the only way we could be reconciled. He had to take our sin and nail it to the cross. Jesus had become sin so that we could be freed from it. And he ascended to God so that we can ascend to God. Now remember, John and Peter, they believed that Jesus had risen when they saw the empty tomb. They left before Jesus showed himself to Mary. But Mary couldn't keep this excitement to herself. She had to run back and tell the others. Verse 19 here it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you, and as the Father sends me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" The disciples, before that morning, they weren't thinking about the resurrection. But there was one group that was thinking and considering the words that Jesus had said when it came to rising from the dead. Of all people, the people who had rejected Jesus the most, the priests, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, were the ones who remembered Jesus' words. See, the priests thought that the tomb might be empty that morning, but they figured that it would probably be by trickery. So they petitioned the Romans to put guards at the tomb that Jesus was laid in. They wanted to keep this from growing more and more with the prophecies that were being fulfilled. The priests figured that it might be empty, but the disciples weren't planning on it. The book of Matthew says that the guards were trembling when the angel rolled the stone away. The guards, the priest, they were all fabricating a story. The soldiers were supposed to defend the tomb, so they had come up with a story that the disciples had taken Jesus' body. So the disciples were afraid. They weren't sure what to expect. They were trying to figure things out. But they knew one thing, though. This was a time they needed to be together. The more they weren't together, the more the enemy would try to get in their heads. So they gathered to encourage one another. And that's when Jesus shows himself after he showed himself to Mary Magdalene. In a time that it says that the disciples were fearful, even with John and Peter telling them what they saw, and Mary telling them everything she had saw and heard, they were still having a hard time. One of the things about entering into this relationship with Jesus, entering into this relationship doesn't mean that things will go perfect. It doesn't mean that things will go as planned. In fact, actually, Jesus had said that we will have trials and tribulations. But here's the awesome thing about the relationship with Jesus. It's exactly what he does here to the disciples. He comes and tells them to receive his peace. He reminds them to remain calm. Jesus' presence is our peace that we receive. When we get afraid, he says, "Hey, there's nothing to be afraid of here. I am with you." See, Jesus not only gives us peace, but he desires for us to use it here on the earth as well. Going to heaven is not the end-all be-all for the gospel of the kingdom. It's establishing heaven here on the earth for others to experience it as well. It's to be that calm voice in a hectic time, to build others up instead of tearing them down. Going to heaven is a given for a believer, but there's victorious kingdom living to be done here on earth. Jesus knew that the disciples needed more than just him showing up. He knew they needed someone just like him. So he breathed on them and told them to receive Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, receiving Holy Spirit is the only way I get through life. Jesus knew that us being a dwelling place for one-third of the Godhead was needed for victorious living today. It was needed to fully embrace the life we have with God. There were all three parts of the Godhead that were a part of the resurrection. A couple of scripture for you. Romans 6:4, for the Father, therefore we were buried through him, through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though we should also walk in the newness of life. For the Son, Jesus, talking about his life in John 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And Holy Spirit, of course, as well, in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised in Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This was the plan from the beginning. God does things on purpose. You were made on purpose for a purpose. There is fresh, victorious life to be living because of him. Holy Spirit is the best person to be with you. He comforts us. He guides us. He reminds us. He's so wonderful. Jesus had to die and ascend to heaven before we could receive Holy Spirit. Jesus, while he was still on this earth, was in a human body. We would have had to go find him to be with him. But because of what he did that day, he made it so that each and every one of us has full access to God. God was no longer separated from mankind because Jesus paid the price for us on that cross. Jesus breathed on all those who were in that room that day to receive Holy Spirit. But there was one disciple missing, Thomas. In John 20, in verse 24, he continues saying, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here. Look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Thomas was very analytical. Just like Mary, it took a lot for him to believe. He didn't hardly know how to trust in what he couldn't see with his own eyes. It was a long week for Thomas, not knowing for sure. I'm sure the disciples were trying to encourage him that whole week, reminding Thomas of Jesus' own words that he said that he would rise again, showing Thomas all the words in Scripture that lined up with Jesus being resurrected. Jesus died according to the Scriptures, he was buried according to the Scriptures, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. But Thomas struggled. I get it. It's something that was not easily grasped. But here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He is personal. He answered the words of Thomas where he doubted unless he could put his hand into his side, put his finger into the nail print holes. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Specific words had specific answers. God is personal. He knew exactly what it would take for Thomas to believe. Saying yes to Jesus is saying yes to a relationship with the Creator of the universe. But we have to be willing to partake of that relationship. His desire for us is to respond to that relationship with him. He knew exactly what it was that Thomas needed at that moment. That's a word for us today as well. He knows exactly what we need at every single moment. When we start feeling anxious, he'll calm us down if we run to him. If we start feeling discouraged, he encourages us. He knows what it will take. Mary, Thomas, the disciples. Jesus knew what it would take appearing to them. But we have the opportunity in believing without actually seeing, at least not with our natural eyes. And Jesus said that those who believe without seeing are actually more blessed than those who have believed by seeing. God is a personal God. He speaks to us in our inner man. He might be prompting you with some things even as we speak right now. Let him do it. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. If this relationship with Jesus is something you'd like to enter into, slip up your hand right now. If you've never asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, lift up your hand. I'd like to pray with you. Pray with me here. Lord, thank you for taking my sin to the cross. Lord, for removing it from me and dying on that cross. Lord, for giving your life as the price to free me. Jesus, thank you for raising from the grave. Lord, demonstrating that victory over death and the grave so that I can have an eternal, forever relationship with you. Lord, enter into my heart. God, lead me and guide me every step of the way. Lord, be the one in charge of my life. Be Lord in my life. I surrender everything to you. Lord, I look to you for every single thing from here on out. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we do pray for those who are struggling to know whether you are real, Jesus. God, make yourself more real to them right now than ever. Lord, show yourself so clearly to them that they know that they know that they know that you did every single thing that you said you did. Jesus, we thank you for the victory over sin in the grave. Lord, we thank you for the resurrected life that you give us. Lord, we thank you that you raised us to new life, no longer dead in our sin, but living for your glory. We thank you for that, Jesus. Lord, have your way in our hearts. Lord, have your way in our lives. Lord, do what you've always wanted to do in us and through us. Lord, we worship you because you are worth it. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, Amen.